Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the P1 podcast with Matt and Tommy. We are here once again to talk about the Australian Grand Prix. We've got some F1 driver ratings for you, haven't we, Tommy? We've been grading every driver's performance, and could be a saucy one, Tommy. I feel like you've got a few that might rock the boat somehow.
We got the fan vote as well, as traditional now. And excited to see what Logan Sargeant gets.
Very excited. And we will discuss what we're going to do about Logan Sargeant. But before we dive into this, just want to shout out the P1 live show. We are literally only a few weeks away now. We would love to have you at either Cambridge, Bath or London. I feel like Cambridge, or is it Bath? One of them has sold out. Do you remember, Tommy?
Cambridge.
Yes, Cambridge is Cambridge. Sold out. So Bath and London, if you want to come and see me and Tommy, get a little bit saucy on stage. That sounds weird. It's not that kind of show. Not that kind of show. Wow. But you know what I'm saying. We'd love to have you there. So link is all over our social media. And if you just type in P1 live show as well, I'm sure it'll come up on Google. Thank you very much. Right, let's begin with Kevin Magnussen. Qualified 14th. Started 14th, finished 10th. I'm going to lock in. 7 out of 10 for Kevin Magnussen. I think that he had a decent race. I don't think it wasn't as comparable to Hülkenberg, especially when you think of Magnussen starting a few positions ahead of his teammate. You might think that, okay, K-Mag might actually do something in the race and be a bit quicker than Hulk. But no, that didn't really happen. Although Hulk did actually gain some time under the VSC. But still, I think Hülkenberg just small upper hand. So that's why I've gone for a 7 out of 10, because I did think if George Russell didn't bin it, he wouldn't have scored a point and I would have given him 7 out of 10. So I don't feel like I can grade him an 8 just because George crashed on the final lap. Do you see what I mean?
I see what you mean. Not that I agree, because I've gone for an 8 out of 10 for Kevin Magnussen. I think you thought I was going to give him a 6 then.
Well, maybe.
this time, yeah, he had a good race. Got points. And what a start for Haas. And it was a nice little battle with Albon. Moments where I thought a crash was going to happen any moment. It kind of made me wince a few times when K-Mag was sticking a nose in certain corners. But he thankfully kept it clean and got a point on the board for Haas.
Singular point. Well done, K-Mag. And I also say, well done for letting your teammate through, but it's still a 7. The fans gave him an 8. Nico Hülkenberg now, qualified 16th, started 16th, and finished 9th.
I've gone for a 9 out of 10 for Nico Hülkenberg. P9 in a Haas. It's a very impressive drive to be 9th in a Haas. We will get on to it later in the year if Haas are genuinely quite good and this is a regular thing. But at the moment, it does feel like a win for Haas to be in up in P9, and it was a good drive. I think he was unfortunate to get blocked in qualifying, because we know how well he can do in qualifying a lot of the time. So to have those issues and get knocked out in the first part and still end up P9 is a very impressive drive. So well done, Nico Hülkenberg.
Well done, Nico. I've gone for an 8 out of 10 for Mr. Hulk. Of course, as I mentioned, he gained some time under the VSC after Hamilton's retirement. Magnussen was a legend and let him through. And clearly this Haas dynamic, even though there's the whole, suck my balls, honey, the stuff that we spoke about first when they became teammates, it seems like they are working in unison and harmony to try and get as many points as possible for Haas. So, a great performance from Haas overall. And 3 points is something that I don't think they would have expected. Well, Komatsu didn't expect anything at the start of the season, but they are certainly
underperform.
What is it?
Over.
No, but you underestimate No, you under something and you
they underestimate themselves.
You under deliver. They're over delivering.
Over delivering.
It's something.
Just say overperforming.
No, but it's under something and then it's over. You know, it's like a. Anyway, well done, Haas. Zhou Guan Yu qualified 19th, started from the pit lane and finished 15th. I have gone for a 5 out of 10 for Zhou Guan Yu. And it's going to be sort of a Control-C, Control-V kind of vibe. Copy and paste for both drivers. Because what are you doing, Stake F1 team? What are you doing? You look like a bunch of clowns. Like, do they know how to run a Formula One team? Do they know that in the pits it's supposed to be the quickest pit stop possible? Bottas has probably now had a longer pit stop in the or combined longer pit stops for the first three races than maybe two seasons combined. What are they doing? It is an absolute disgrace. Of course, he had his car modified under Parc Fermé, then suffered a gearbox issue during the second pit stop, which cost Zhou loads of time, and obviously finished ahead of Ocon, but it was literally the battle of the two dustbins and who could change their rubbish quicker. Like, it was, it sounds savage, but I'm absolutely sick of Zhou Guan Yu and Valtteri Bottas, two decent drivers. Zhou in particular is, you know, a young driver wanting to perform, but I feel like he's always hindered by stuff. So get it together, Stake. Please. Sorry, I haven't had a pop off like that for a little while.
Enjoy that. Did not see Stake being the team that gets it, but I think it's justified because awful from their pit stops. I've gone for a 5 for Zhou Guan Yu as well. He had an issue in qualifying where took off a bit of his wing, and you can argue it was his fault because he ran over a curb, but I think it was one of those incidents where, like, it could have gone either way. We've seen drivers use a lot of the track limits before and not lost any kind of parts of their front wing. So he was unlucky in that sense. But it was all undone in the pit stops, really, wasn't it? So shocking.
Certainly was. The fans gave... Have I said the fans for the last few? I can't remember.
Oh, yes.
The fans gave Nico Hülkenberg an 8. And they gave Zhou Guan Yu a 5. I definitely said K-Mag as the first one. It's fine. It's all right. I'm locked in. I'm dialed in now, unlike Stake pit stops. Valtteri Bottas qualified 13th, started 13th, finished 14th.
I have gone for a 7 out of 10 for Valtteri Bottas because I think he would have got points without the useless pit stop. I think he qualified very well for the neon dustbin, as you referred to them in the race pod. And he was actually running in P11 when he had his bad pit stop. So you think with the way the race ran, points would have been an option. He might have been up there with the Haases. And he probably would have had quite a good race. Impressive in qualifying as well. So I can't really downgrade him for... his useless team. So I'm giving him a 7.
Okay, wow. Bottas fanboy on this podcast. Love that. For Valtteri, I've gone for a 6 out of 10. As you say, running very strongly. And then cross-threading the wheel nut and it rolling off down the pit lane. And I mean, it's just literally something out of a comedy sketch when it comes to their pit stops at the moment. But yeah, there was a small glimmer of hope, but I can't go with ifs, buts and maybes as to whether he would have scored points or not. We're not sure, but he was having a strong race up until that point, so I'm going to go with the 6. Yuki Tsunoda qualified 8th, started 8th, finished 7th.
And the fans gave Valtteri Bottas a 5.
Yes, I definitely remembered again. Told you, I'm dialed in. Right. My brain's not fully functioning yet, okay? After the Australian Grand Prix weekend, all right? Ferrari 1-2 and also early alarms. Anyway, yes, Valtteri was given a 5. Yuki Tsunoda! Qualified 8th, started 8th, finished 7th. I am going for Yuki Tsunoda a 10 out of 10. He is getting full marks for a fantastic weekend. I said this year I'm going to try and sort of, you know, Yuki doesn't have to score a podium in order to score a 10 because he's in an RB. He flat out destroyed race winner Daniel Ricciardo, multiple race winner Daniel Ricciardo. and had a pretty flawless weekend, qualifying brilliantly, and then scoring, obviously would have been eighth, but finished seventh with Alonso's penalty. Still, 4, 6 points, whatever it might be, Yuki did a fantastic job, and it deserves to be commended.
It sure does. I've also given him a 10 out of 10. It is basically like a victory in Formula B, isn't it? Because
Formula
they're never going to get
anywhere
near these cars.
Because, I mean, you've got
Red Bull, then Verstappen, then yeah. Everyone else. But yeah, so he's done an amazing job. He's absolutely smashing it in qualifying. He's performing extremely well. And then he had a race to back it up as well. It's actually kind of nice. And it's not why I support Yuki Tsunoda, but it is from a results point of view. I've kind of enjoyed the fact that he's managed to just string a normal race together where we've not really had to see him. He didn't really have to make any overtakes or do anything crazy. He just delivered the best of what he needed to do. Normally when Yuki has a great race, it's because he's doing these amazing daring overtakes, and sometimes they go wrong and we give him a really bad grade, sometimes they go right, we give him a really good grade. This is just like a very good drive with no drama really, which is good to see from Yuki. So yeah, big points for RB.
Should have said actually he would have finished ninth had it not been for obviously Russell and then Alonso's penalty as well, but either or, finishing the highest by it was definitely the best of Formula C, or whatever we're going to call it from now on. Daniel Ricciardo.
And the fans.
Oh my God, Matt,
nine.
Please remember the fans. There are grades. I am still not used to this being part of driver ratings, but the fans gave Yuki a 9. Yeah, put it in bold, mate. That would be a good thing to have moving forward as Ron Burgundy. Daniel Ricciardo qualified 18th, started 18th, finished 12th.
Daniel Ricciardo, I've gone 4 out of 10. A shocking weekend, really. You look on paper, actually, and he's finished 12th. So it's not shocking, like you should be getting a 1 or 2 out of 10. But I think it's justified the criticism he's getting, because Yuki performed so well and has essentially finished the race in seventh. So when you're a long way behind your teammate, and we're seeing a trend this year of teammates finishing 2 by 2, I think you do have to harshly grade someone when they finish so far behind their teammate. So it kind of all came undone in that slight mistake in qualifying. Disaster so far, and he's got a bit of pressure on him now. I think even Helmut Marko has said he needs to step up.
Yeah, I think Helmut said both of them need to step up, and Yuki's done exactly that this weekend. I have gone for a 3 out of 10 for Daniel Ricciardo. It wasn't even close in qualifying to him not exceeding track limits. He went off to Narnia and came back at turn 5, I think it was, which ruined his race weekend, starting 18th. Good luck at this stage. And obviously finishing 12th, as you say, on paper, not bad. But who did he finish higher? The two Alpines, one of which had an extra pit stop to get something out of their brake duct for Ocon. The two Kick Saubers that had a collective pit stop time of 4.5 days. And then Gasly, who's also driving a tractor. So for me, it's fully deserving, as shown by his teammate, that not scoring points is not good enough, especially when you have people DNFing. You've got Verstappen, Hamilton, Russell all DNFing. You had Logan Sargeant not taking part. There was opportunities here to score a point or two, and that's what Yuki showed. And unfortunately, Daniel didn't in his home race. Like, it's sad to watch, but he needs to pick it up. And I think the thing that was concerning me the most was after qualifying, in his post-quali interviews, he basically said that the only thing that was wrong was the stopwatch. Like, he didn't feel like he was losing time within the car, which I think is the most concerning thing to say, because then you don't know what's wrong.
How's he going to improve?
Exactly. Yeah. So it's quite hard to watch, and I really hope he does pick it up and has a stellar performance soon, so we can all shut up and say, all right, he's still got it. But until then, we have to give him his fair criticism. The fans gave Daniel Ricciardo 3 out of 10. It's fine. It's chaotic driver ratings. It's fine. Stop. It's all good. I had it. That was actually my sentence, was Logan, the fan's vote was 3 out of 10, Sergeant. That's his middle name. Logan Sargeant qualified in Sad Face, started in Sad Face, and finished in Sad Face. That's what it says in our document, so I'm going to read it out loud. Now we need to discuss what on earth we're going to do with Logan Sargeant, because Alex Albon stole his car, stole the keys, got in it, and drove around this weekend. It's either a 10 or an NA. It can't be a 10, unfortunately, even though the fans voted a 10, which I have mentioned.
Well, actually, it's quite amusing that he got removed from the driver of the day vote because so many people were voting for
him.
That's
crazy.
F1 fans, if you give them a troll vote, they will go for it.
How's that troll? Logan sacrificed his seat for the good of the team.
Good of
the team.
So
what are we going to do? NA, but then we need averages.
It has to be non. Yeah. Because at the end of the day, when we get to the final grades at the end of the year and our half term report or whatever we're going to call it, it is the average. So we have to take it as a Carlos Sainz where, you know, you could say, oh, give him a 5, but then, you know, that could affect his grade massively.
That could be the best grade of the year for him.
It has to be. Well, exactly. And you give him a 10 and it's like, well, he's not driven.
Yeah.
So it's not really fair to give him really, it's going to skew it massively and he might end up, you know, finishing
the
rankings.
So we don't add them all together
in P20
and do it that way. We don't do that at any point.
Well, it's based on an average grade throughout the races that they do, yeah.
Okay, so, all right, cool. So
NA is the fairest
NA option. For Logan Sargeant, poor bloke. He'll be back in Japan unless Alex crashes in practice again
unless
and they
Albon
have
crashes.
No chassis again, which sounds like that might be the case, is that Williams will still not have a spare chassis in Japan. So fingers crossed they don't bin it again and have this problem again. We'll have to wait and see. Imagine if Logan is the one that crashes his car and he's like, well, can I have Alex's now then, yeah? Like swapsies. Like, you took my car in Australia. Somehow I don't think James Fowles will pander to that one.
No.
Alex Albon qualified 12th, started 12th, finished 11th.
I have gone for a 4 out of 10 for Alex Albon. And that is because, well, I think we know why. But just to cover it off, he finished obviously 11th, and that is a decent result for a Williams. Good result, I'd say. Probably, you know, if that's a normal race, I'm giving him a 7 out of 10. But I think this is my opinion. I think I have to be harsh here that he has put essentially his team down to a one-car team, and also the whole, you know, criticism on Williams and all the pressure that he's put on his team, I think he has to kind of suffer in the Tommy grade, which I'm sure he'll be losing loads of sleep over. But I think it has to kind of knock it down because he's put his team in a very awkward and difficult position and he deserves to be punished.
Okay, well, we're about to get saucy here, everybody. Ladies and gentlemen, put your seatbelts on. Because it's time for me and Tommy to fall out. I've gone for a 6 out of 10 for Alex Albon. It's an interesting angle that you've taken there, that Alex has put this on the team. What I would say is that it's the team's fault for not having a spare chassis. It's the team's fault for being behind in development and obviously restructuring and redoing everything, which has forced the drivers to be in this situation. Yes, Alex has made a mistake, bottomed out on the curb, and he's gone in the wall. That is 100%, you know, that is his fault. I'm not going to downgrade him because Williams can't offer them a spare car, which is the least that they can, or a spare chassis or whatever it might be, which is the least a Formula One team should have to do during a Formula One weekend. So I get it. I don't think Alex was probably the one going, give me Logan's car now, I can deliver points. Logan, of course, would have had no say in the matter. James Fowles had to, as a team principal, make a difficult decision. And Alex is, as for his race, was decent. Williams just didn't have the pace, unfortunately, to finish 11th. Of course, there were DNFs and penalties and whatnot, and even though the penalties I don't think actually affected Alex. But still, it was an all right drive, but nothing special. And 4 out of 10, that's going to get a couple of comments. But
it's not that much lower for...
But no, fair.
For
yeah,
what is essentially, you know, it's you know, I think it's yeah, a pretty solid
The beauty with life is that that's your grade, and no one can take that away from you.
No, they can't.
You said it with your chest. I love it. The fans gave Alex a 6. Esteban Ocon next. Qualified 15th, started 15th, finished 16th. I'm so bored of how bad Alpine are. I've gone for a 5 for Ocon because he was unlucky, obviously, to have a tear-off stuck in his rear brake duct, so I had to pit again. He did medium, hard. Ended up in last place. We don't see anything of them. Ocon and Gasly still seem very comparable in terms of pace and generally probably being one of the closest driver pairings on the grid. And yeah, they're right at the back languishing. So I'm not going to give them any worse than that. So yeah, 5 out of 10.
I've gone for a 6 out of 10. Ooh. For Esteban Ocon. A cheeky extra point for making it into Q2 with that tractor of a car, which he was celebrating like it was a win, which I think was genuine, but also maybe a little bit of like, haha, Gasly, I got
100%. It's nothing to do with the position.
But yeah, it's a what might have been for him, because maybe he might have, you know, Gasly's finished 13th and we've had a lot of failures at the top. So maybe he could have been in the mix. I don't know. A point would have been very unlikely, I think. But yeah, just giving him an extra point for his quality performance.
Okay, wow. Lovely stuff. The fans gave Ocon a 5. Pierre Gasly qualified 17th, started 17th, finished 13th.
I have given Pierre Gasly a 5 out of 10. And that is because it is the most normal average drive, really. You know, he's not done particularly amazing in qualifying. And while 13th for an Alpine sounds incredible, he only finished ahead of essentially people that had absolute nightmares, if I'm not mistaken. So he's kind of last of the normal races, if you like.
Yeah, I think that's fair, because Gasly, yeah, finished about 12, 13 seconds ahead of Ocon, and that was obviously with an extra pit stop for Ocon and having to get that out of his brakes. I've gone for a 5 out of 10 for Gasly as well. I don't, you know, it's by the by, maybe. Nah, actually, screw it. Ocon gets a 6. You've won me over there. Sorry, editor, but I'm going to change my grade to a 6 for Ocon and a 5 for Gasly, because I think it's unfair to grade them the same if Ocon had to go through all those trials and tribulations and still finished about 12, 13 seconds behind his teammate. But as for Gasly, yeah, quiet race. He was up in, I think, 8th at one point, but that was, I think, without having stopped. And that was, you know, probably had a nosebleed with how high he was up in an Alpine. But yeah, then fell away to 13th. So a 5 out of 10. And the fans also gave Gasly a 5.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Lance Stroll qualified 9th, started 9th, finished 6th. I have gone for a 7 out of 10 for Lance Stroll. Very quiet race, but a decent one. Gained a couple of places early on, pitted quite aggressively early at the start. Obviously then got promoted after Alonso was a cheeky boy and Russell was a cheekier boy into the wall. So that got him up to 6th. And yeah, I don't think it was anything special from Lance, but he'll absolutely take a 6th place, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Lance Stroll. It is more of what he should be doing, you know, not finishing too far behind Fernando Alonso. And a quiet race from him, really. But P6 is a good result for Aston. Although, you know, he's he's been fortunate that a few of the other cars ahead of him have had issues, but it's still a much more solid drive and ones that he should be doing it.
And he didn't qualify terribly as well. So well done, Lance. Getting to Q3. Well done, sir. The fans also gave Lance a 7. Fernando Alonso qualified 10th, started 10th, finished 8th.
I've gone for a 7 out of 10 for Fernando Alonso. I think his qualifying uncharacteristic that he made, a mistake and seemingly damaged his car, which meant that he couldn't really fight whether that would have equated to him finishing a whopping one place higher ahead of Lance Stroll, probably anyway. In the race, it was a good drive. And then, of course, at the end, his tactics, whichever way you look at them, I've looked at them as, I think it's cheeky and naughty. I think if there was runoff at that corner and George runs wide, and it's not a crash, it's not even investigated.
But hey, the stewards didn't factor in the fact that there was a crash, mate. It says it in the report, which is mental because they did.
Absolute BS. Yes, it's absolute rubbish. They did. And I think that's why it's kind of been made to be this thing. But I don't think it's as bad. I don't think it's like absolutely scandalous.
Of course you don't, you're a Fernando fan.
Yeah, giving him a 7 out of 10.
I've gone for a 7 out of 10 as well for Fernando. He was having a great race. Perez obviously got past him very quickly, but then he didn't fight Perez at all and then utilised those four DRS zones beautifully. Of course, he also gained under the virtual safety car as well. And he was having a great race up until the point of the George Russell thing, which of course put him down to P8 in the end. It's such a... you kind of just try and process the whole thing. And I can completely understand fans' kind of questioning over why was it a penalty? And then looking at other incidents that have happened over the years and how it differs. Let's say K-Mag and Saudi, but we've said this before, it was more of a, in my opinion, it was more of a predictable slowing down from K-Mag as opposed to slam on the brake. And that is what I believe the stewards have gone, gotcha. If he hadn't slammed on the brake the first time and then a second time, he would have been okay, I think. But the problem is there was, I guess, something to say that he did something premeditated. And then maybe even more interestingly is, if we're talking about slowing down and being dangerous, Perez and Hamilton 2021, bloke was basically getting out the car and pushing around that final sector, and yet he didn't get penalised for that. So I can completely understand where... a lot of fans are wondering, well, where's the consistency here? I think in my head, I go, I understand why the stewards gave him a penalty, but I also am like, yeah, but Fernando didn't mean to put him in the wall, did he? You know what I mean? He was just being very, very cheeky.
No, just a bit of gamesmanship.
It was gamesmanship.
He's done it before with Lewis Hamilton, DRS chicken. Look at Leclerc and Verstappen when they were hitting the brakes in Saudi.
100
metres
early, yeah. It's a very
exactly.
good point.
Exactly. So they were doing the same. So, and that wasn't investigated because there wasn't a crash. But not that they'll admit that. And one final thing, because we've not spoken about it since the incident, the document.
It's like
reads
written
like
a 4-year-old.
It's just like a Twitter. It's literally like a fan
conversation,
on Twitter,
isn't it? It's very
odd. Where they're like, should Fernando have done this?
Yes.
Did he have the right to do this? No. Or whatever. Just so weird.
It was very... But, I mean, that in itself concerns me greatly, that is the head teacher, basically. That's the head teacher, and that's the writing that's coming out of their report and document. Very concerning, I would say. Anyway, that's... I'm sure a lot of people have their own opinions, and let us know in the comments what yours is. The fans also gave Fernando Alonso a 7. Oscar Piastri qualified 6th, started 5th, finished 4th. I have gone 4. 7 out of 10 for Oscar Piastri. It's a low grade considering he's finished 4th again, but I also feel like there was a little bit left on the table. He made that mistake at the penultimate corner, which cost him a bit of time. think he ended up finishing around 12 seconds behind Lando, as in obviously not finishing, because there was a VSC that came out, which extended the gaps massively. But he was around 12 seconds behind his teammate come the crash on the final lap. So there was still a little bit left out there for Oscar, perhaps just struggling with that race pace ever so slightly. But still a very good drive. McLaren looking very promising and a bit of learning to do maybe on the Aussie side. But apart from that, I think he can be relatively happy with a fourth place.
I've gone for an 8 out of 10 for Oscar Piastri. A good drive. Obviously, you know, he was running ahead of Lando, thanks to the pit stop, of course. But and then they did the swap, which I imagine is disappointing for him. But he is looking a lot more like he's on a better pace. Very slight mistake. I don't think it cost him too much, though, realistically. And he was always kind of destined to finish behind Lando, but ahead of, well, everyone else. Although saying that, he's beaten Perez, which is impressive, but I think that says more about Perez's drive, but we'll get on to that later. Oh. So yeah, Oscar's doing a very good job this year, I think. He's looking a lot more solid and, exciting driver indeed.
Yeah, I think his lockup cost him about 4 seconds or so, which, you know, you could argue if he stays there or thereabouts with Lando, he might have even had a chance to get that swap back, but... yeah, no chance if he made that mistake. The fans gave Oscar an 8. Lando Norris qualified 4th, started 3rd, finished 3rd.
I've gone for a 9 out of 10 for Lando Norris. Very good drive. A classic Lando drive of getting the most out of the car. Very quick. Probably has those thoughts in his head of like, why weren't McLaren competitive when Max has managed not to finally have a breakdown, or why couldn't his car have broken down in the many, many times last year that he was running second. Podium's a good result to say where McLaren are starting the year. So he can be very pleased with that.
I've gone for a 9 out of 10 as well for Lando. I think that McLaren let him down ever so slightly with the strategy. I feel like P2 was absolutely on the cards, but they just languished around a little bit with that one. I feel as though they were looking at other teams more than they were themselves. Of course, Ferrari and Leclerc went for a very aggressive strategy at the beginning, which, you know, you're not going to cover that off because it was a very early pit stop for Leclerc and also Piastri. But the second one, again, it was just kind of leaving Lando out there, maybe hoping for fresher tyres and then trying to overtake. But we know what overtaking is like in Formula One. Of course, all of this is with the benefit of hindsight. But I feel as though Lando was putting in a performance that could have warranted him P2 rather than P3. So that's why I've gone for a 9 over a 7 for Oscar, because I feel as though there was, again, a little bit left maybe from McLaren's side for Lando. But still a great drive on the podium. He said he's excited about the prospects for the rest of the season. McLaren, you know, can they take another step forward soon? I'd love to see it so that they can battle Ferrari and maybe even Red Bull. Who knows? The fans gave Lando a 9 out of 10 as well. Carlos Sainz qualified 2nd, started 2nd, finished 1st. I have gone for a 6 out of 10 for Carlos Sainz. Don't feel like he sang Smooth Operator loudly enough down the team radio. Didn't actually remember until his radio engineer came over there. Of course it's a 10 out of 10. Carlos, I would give him an 11 if I could, because that was miraculous. It clearly, whatever went on during that surgery, they've installed some upgrades. Not only have they removed some potential bad things, but also, wow, Carlos, I cannot commend his performance more. He saw the opportunity, he took it. Qualifying was where he won the race on Saturday. Charles Leclerc tried to win the race in qualifying many, many times and qualified brilliantly many, many times, but the opportunity did not come up. Carlos qualified brilliantly and boom, Max Verstappen has a crisp packet in his brakes. Obviously, that is not confirmed. That is just speculation. There is no crisp packet probably. Carlos, unbelievable. So, so happy for him. What a way life can change in the space of 2 weeks.
Yeah, I've gone for a 10 out of 10 as well. It's a no-brainer, 10 out of 10. Amazing drive. It's it's funny that we mentioned Singapore in the race review and how that was such a banger and it was such an intelligent drive. This one was still a 10, but he didn't really, it's not saying he didn't have to do anything. He just wasn't under any pressure, but that was because he drove so well and was just managing the gap. I was convinced that Charles Leclerc was going to catch up and
who's the fanboy, you know, here?
Make a bit of a race of it. but it was looking like, you know, he was close, and based on other races we've seen, you thought, oh, it might get a bit closer and it might be quite good and we might get another Monza, but we didn't. And Carlos just made it look so easy. And yeah, what a comeback. And insane to think that if he'd done the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, he could be leading the world championship.
And then the cutest thing ever, you know, as he was winning, he said over team radio that to get Charles to join him so they can celebrate the 1-2 together. My heart, honestly. And obviously he got driver of the day as well, because Carlos, just magnificent. And the fans agreed, 10 out of 10. Charles Leclerc qualified fifth, started fourth, finished second.
I've gone for an 8 out of 10 for Charles Leclerc, which may sound a bit harsh when he's finished second on the road, which is obviously a very good result. And
off the road,
is
mate.
Basically the
finished second on the road.
Don't say off
no,
the
no,
road.
No, but you went to finish second on the road as if there was like post-race penalties or something. I was like,
oh, right, no. finished second.
There we go.
He's going to be kicking himself with the qualifying mistake that, like you said, he's qualifying is where he excels and has had so many amazing results. He's taken pole position and then we've gone, oh, he's not there. And he's not been able, we've kind of, and I think it's a fair thing to say that he's not had the car to win the race. Whereas this, the time that he has had the car to win the race, when Max has had a problem, he's made a mistake on his qualifying lap and given him so much work to do. You know, not even finishing, qualifying right behind Carlos. You know, he qualified down in fifth, so not good.
Started fourth, though. So to be fair, he didn't have that much work to do, just had to clear Lando and he was in there. But unfortunately, just wow, cool. Thanks so much for your input there, Tommy. I want to move on now. I don't even want to talk about my side of things. I've gone for an 8 out of 10 as well, because sadness has just taken over here. How many front rows did he have in a row? Was it 7 or 8 he'd had in a row?
8 in a
eight
row, yeah.
Front rows in a row. And the one time he Max's car blows up. That is ridiculous. And there's people out there, as there always are, blah, 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 about how he's overrated, Carlos is better. And I know a lot of it is just trying to get attention and trying to trigger people, but it's ridiculous. Like Charles Leclerc will probably have now another 8 front rows in a row and not get a win. The universe just didn't align for him yesterday or the day before, whenever this goes out. And it was lost on Saturday. As you say, the one time that he usually delivers is qualifying. Well, not the one time, but the definite time that he usually delivers is qualifying. And unfortunately, that wasn't meant to be. And Carlos was on it as well. It's not just Charles not being able to deliver because of his qualifying performance, but he also had a teammate that had the match for him today. Today, not today, yesterday, the day before, whenever this chronology. And it has to be said that Charles has to put his hands up, because I think he said that he struggled with the tyres a little bit. Of course, they put him on a really aggressive stop because he was fighting the McLarens to try and get track position. But then that put him on the back foot as well, because he was then going through a bit of traffic at the beginning. And yeah, it's, he was on the back foot immediately after the first strategy call. And I think he even said that he knew that it'd be a really tough race after that. So yes, it's an 8 out of 10. And the fans also gave Charles an 8. George Russell qualified 7th, started 7th, did not finish. Oh my God, this grade is one of the most difficult grades I've ever had to give. And I am going to give him a 5 out of 10. Because this is not Singapore last year, in my eyes. The stewards also agree that there were external factors as to why George crashed, although they did not take part any of that in their stewards' report. They did not see the George Russell crash, apparently, just to clarify. I do feel sorry for him a little bit. Alonso has chefed him and chefed him very hard, but chefed him slightly too hard, according to the penalties within Formula One. And it's just, it's sad because George was having a decent enough race. He was outperforming Hamilton all weekend. And then to be caught out like that, I do feel for him. That's why I'm not giving him a one or a two. But I am going to downgrade him a little bit because he lost the car and crashed into the wall, despite that factor of Alonso. So straight down the middle, George Russell, five.
Yep, I've given him a 4 out of 10. So slightly harsher, but yeah, not Singapore harsh. I agree with you that it's not completely on his own, you know, made a mistake that has completely cost him a massive result. That's why I was so harsh on him in Singapore. This time, I think there is some responsibility of him. You know, he's crashed the car in that situation, but it is a difficult situation to be in. It's probably one of those moments where you could replay it many, many times. And I think it's probably like 50-50 if he crashes or not. You know, he could do it again tomorrow and he might just make it through the corner fine and maybe just react to, or doesn't lose the car through the dirty air and just catches it.
Do you reckon
it?
That's so, what they'll do? Like Silverstone 2021, where Red Bull did the replicate the incident with Albon, didn't he? Going round the corner. They're going to go and send George out and then put a car in front and be like, see, the penalty was worth it.
Yeah, imagine. But no, apart from that, it's a shame. It's a shame for him because he's been driving well. Hamilton's been struggling and George was on for a good result again. And it would have been quite the statement based on the race that Hamilton had. But instead, double DNF for Merck, and
a third of the race,
boy, are they not happy.
Oh, Frank's not happy either, as you can hear in the background. The fans gave George Russell a 6. Lewis Hamilton qualified 11th, started 11th, and did not finish.
I have gone 4. 4 out of 10 for Lewis Hamilton. He, of course, retired from the race, no fault of his own. However, qualified poorly, made a, you know, he went off at turn one at one point struggling. He just did not look like the Lewis Hamilton that we know throughout the whole weekend. It looks like he's really struggling with that Mercedes car. And yeah, he's not having a good time of things at the moment. I'm not personally worried as such. Said it many times during the race reviews and stuff that he normally has a slow start to the season. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people thinking that he's doing all these crazy experimental setups again and whatnot. We don't know, but he'll bounce back. It's just, yeah, a really poor weekend from Hamilton.
Yeah, not great. I've given him a 4 out of 10 as well, mainly because we didn't finish. I would have given him a 5, but then he wasn't having the best of times up until that point either, hence the slight downgrade as well. Where he would have finished, who knows? He went aggressive early and went on, started on the soft tyres, which is one of the strangest decisions I think I've ever seen, because they lasted.
Screams like desperation. It
literally
wasn't trying anything to perform.
It felt like it was a soft tyres, try and gain some positions and hope for a safety car, which, you know, is that what Mercedes are now? Is that what we're doing here? Because no one thought the soft tyres was going to be a good race tyre. So anyway, 4 out of 10 for Lewis, and the fans also gave him a 4. Sergio Perez qualified 3rd, started 6th, finished 5th. I've gone for a 5 out of 10 for Sergio Perez today because it was a disappointing weekend, a really disappointing weekend, because he should and could and would have, had he delivered a good performance, been leading the world championship. Max Verstappen out, the DNF that happened for his teammate. These are the moments where you go, Perez has to be there. He makes a mistake in qualifying by blocking Hülkenberg. Had he started 3rd, might have been a different story. But instead, starts 6th, a little bit stuck in the pack. Then when you get into the race, he loses a position to Russell at the beginning. And it just makes his race a lot more difficult. And then, you know, we hear that he picked up some damage passing Alonso. We don't know what quantifiably the amount of lap time he lost per lap and things like that. As far as I've seen, there hasn't been any clarification of that, just that he's lost time and he had some damage. But still, to finish 35 seconds off the win, it's really, it's a disappointing result after such a great start to the year, Perez has shown, he's still got it. He's within Max. He's not matching Max, but he's where he needs to be. This performance was a bit concerning, hence the 5 out of 10.
Yeah, I've gone for a 5 out of 10 as well. It is incredibly disappointing for Perez, because he would have been leading the World Championship had he done a good job, like you say. And this was his opportunity. Max rarely retires, rarely has problems. And this is the exact opportunity he needed if he wanted to, well, we joked about last year doing a Rosberg or whatever, but it's, you can't be having races like this.
Oh, sorry, you're getting choked up, bro. That's it.
No, I'm
Perez
just so
fanboy. You've shown it. You're really upset by that.
He should have been leading the World Championship. He should have been leading. Yeah, just really poor from Perez. He should be up there, and you know, his comments saying that I don't think Max would have won. I do think it's just him saving his blushes that he had a bit of a bad race, and it's not good enough really, because he had a great start to the year, and hopefully bounces back. But it makes me concerned that is this now going to be a pattern where he does start the season all right and then sort of slowly drops off and off and off and off. It is just one race, and he's still doing overall like a good job in the championship. So can't be too harsh on him. But this race was not good.
Yeah,
at all.
I will give him the benefit of the doubt in the sense that he said that Max wouldn't have won had he hadn't known at the time that he had damage. So whether he would have said the same thing with the fact he knew that floor damage or whatever it was after he passed Alonso, maybe not. But either or. I think a lot of people doubted that Max Verstappen wouldn't have won the race had he been able to continue. The fans gave Perez a 5 as well. Max Verstappen qualified first, started first, finished for... Wait, that says DNF. Unbelievable.
Is this real?
Is this real? Can we even grade him? What do we grade him? Probably do have to grade him, because we do grade DNFs.
My argument is DNFs anymore. It's not a DNF in the sense
of... He started, he didn't finish.
What I'm saying is it's a DNF. It isn't a DNF. You're
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Max Verstappen fan trying to tell us that he did not DNF.
The DeLulu. I'm on the DeLulu train now. What I'm trying to say is I think that it should be a non, like an NA, like a Logan Sargeant, because, and this is from both sides, because if you go straight down the middle and give him a 5, it's completely unfair, because you're knocking his grade down enormously on the average. And equally, he's absolutely smashed everyone in qualifying, had, you know, a thing through wasn't his fault. So if you give him a 10, it seems almost ridiculous, even though it kind of is a 10 out of 10 drive, but the guy's done one racing lap properly.
Yeah.
Because he got the perfect start, smashed everyone in qualifying. So if you gave him a 10, it's almost like that's farcical as well, because it's unfair either way. So you just average it as like he's not...
So what's the cutoff here, Tommy? Because we graded Hamilton and he made about, 17 or so laps? So how many laps is enough
exactly.
to grade?
Yeah, and he did bad in qualifying. Well, I mean, we can argue that if like we want to give him a grade, I'd give him like a 9, but I feel like that seems absolutely outrageous because he's like...
We all know he was going to deliver a 10.
We could do. yeah, this is the thing, right? And I think the problem here is like... It's a really difficult one to grade, and it does have to be like circumstantial, because if I know I always use this as an example as a joke, and I don't mean to like do it, but say Logan Sargeant was winning the race.
Oh my God! How are you always bringing Logan into this?
I know. I just love the guy. Say Logan Sargeant did an unbelievable qualifying, and he got 5 laps into the race, and he was running like second, and his engine blew up. I think we would give him a 10, because you're like, well, what, you know, he did everything he could. But in this situation, it does seem kind of ridiculous to give Max
a 10
when he's done one racing
lap. Okay, well, what we should do, right? We give two scenarios here, and everyone in the comments on YouTube can let us know, because we can't comment on audio podcasts.
Whether it's NA or
yes,
all the vote
so we
give.
Need, so like the top comment and the top voted comment of whether it should be NA or a grade for Max Verstappen, whatever that might be. So if you are grading him grade, up until the point he DNF'd, it's a 10, because the only reason he lost the lead was because he had a problem with his right rear or whatever it was, and went straight on. So it's either a 10 or an NA. Let us know in the comments and we will add that to the sheet accordingly. The fans gave him a 5.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like,
what
it's
are
just
fans giving him a 5 for? That's crazy, but fair.
They thought he was just desperate to play iRacing and he shoved a crisp packet in the brain. I don't know why we're going to
use
crisp
but
packet
it's just,
theory. Everyone's going to believe that it's actually
it's
a
not.
Thing. It's not a thing. Yeah, his grades the kind of are all over the place. You know, 20% gave him a 5. People gave him 10. People gave him 0. It's just impossible to grade because it's difficult. Whereas, you know, someone... Yeah, you can hear other people going, well, Hamilton retired, but the guy did 17 laps and had a bad qualifying.
Like, it's enough
so kind
to
of
judge.
Could see what he did. Yeah, ways. You can judge what he did. And there is, like, there's enough evidence over Formula One to judge that Max would have got a 10 out of 10, but it almost seems unfair to give him a 10 when he's not even competing.
Yeah, bro, we can't be like, oh, well, you know, last time out, he produced a... You know,
he definitely, yeah, because exactly. he might have made a mistake.
Otherwise, we
probably
need to
not,
start throwing
but
in.
But he might have made a mistake.
He might have, exactly. Who knows? So, yeah, okay, cool. Let us know, and we will do whatever you guys decide. Finally, who is our P1? Who's going to get P1? It's going to be Carlos Sainz for me. It has to be. I know that Yuki also got a 10, but Carlos, for me, absolutely, what a man.
For me, it has to be Yuki Tsunoda.
It's the only time he's probably going to get a 10. So, just lock that in now, mate.
It's a great drive. Yeah, both brilliant drives. Carlos's comeback was amazing. But, yeah, I think a great performance from Yuki in the midfield. And maybe, yeah, it's going to... If he carries on having performances like this, it could be very fascinating, the Red Bull situation. I think.
Indeed, and what a way I'm to end. Bit of Yuki Tsunoda hype. Love that, Tommy. What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, during that podcast, I just had a WhatsApp pop up from an old school friend, and he just said that he was in Gales in London and he saw someone watching us on his phone. So shout out to the person in Gales in London watching our content.
That is amazing. Whoever that is, thank you so much. And to everybody else as well. That's my final thought. Thank you, as always, for just being such a wonderful P1 community and turning up for our podcast, for our content, no matter where you are in the world, our Twitch watch-alongs. It is a dream job and one that we never get normal. We never feel normal. We never. It's never normalized, is it, Tommy, when we... Especially when you tell people what you do for a living, you're like, jeez, yeah, that's true, isn't it? It's mad.
Yeah,
but
it is.
Thank
very
you.
Mad.
Formula One is back. Ferrari are back. There's a world championship fight on our hands. And let us know if Verstappen deserves a 10 or an NA. It's as simple as that. And also P1 live show tickets. We can do driver ratings to Tommy. And we'll rate Tommy live on stage from head to toe. God, those biceps looking swole. And that is it. Thank you, everybody. See you soon. Lots of love. Bye.
Bye.
And the fans gave us a 10 out of 10 for the podcast. Take care. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials. We're MattP1Tommy on Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and Instagram. You can also sign up to our Patreon at the link in the episode notes for ad-free episodes, full video interviews, and extra bonus episodes for as little as $5 a month. Finally, make sure you're following us on Spotify. See you soon.
P1 is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.